It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Greetings once again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Psalm 103 and verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Well, one of the benefits that I have is being able to come to you each time that you listen to this program. Well, the benefit that I have is being able to share God's Word with you. And I am appreciative that you're taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to me. But not actually listening to me, but I'm praying that you're listening to the Word of God as we share it together. It's a joy each time I'm able to come and be with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We continue our study now in the New Testament with the book of Romans. In chapters 1 through 8, we see the doctrine of the gospel of God and what salvation is. In chapters 9 through 11, we see God's sovereign dealing with Israel. And in chapters 12 through 16, we look and see the exhortations for the justified and sanctified believer who waits for the coming glory and how he is to live on earth in the power of the gospel and manifest the righteousness of God. Well, the book of Romans is not only written to the Jew and the Greeks and the Romans and the Gentiles, but back during Paul's time, it's written for our benefit as well today. And of course, the author is the Apostle Paul. And let me quickly say this, that Paul is not the real author. He is the one God used, a man of God. God used him to pin down the words that God wanted pinned down. In other words, God used men to pin down His word. God is the author of the Scriptures. In chapter 1 and verse 1, it talks about that. Now, Paul is from the Latin word meaning little. And I believe that as we look at that, we can see that, as I often pray, that, "Lord, that I would decrease and you increase." I believe that Paul had that same prayer. I believe this is an indication that he was willing to let God have the preeminence. Paul, the word means little. Well, then the date was probably around 55 to 58 AD when this was written, and it was written from Corinth, according to Romans chapter 16. The setting for this is that Paul wrote because he could not come to them at that time. He could not come to the church at Rome, in other words. Now, the church at Rome was made up of both Jew and Gentile Christians. And because of Paul's background, he is best qualified to present a Jewish Messiah to a proud Gentile audience. Now, we see Paul, and he was taught by a man by the name of Gamaliel, a Pharisee, a doctor of Jewish law, according to Acts chapter 22 and verse 3. In other words, Paul was a very learned man of the Scriptures. In other words, the Old Testament Scriptures. And I would remind you that I will use very few Scriptures outside of the books that we're studying. In other words, we're looking at Romans today, and I believe that each book of the New Testament stands on its own. In other words, we really don't have to look to other books of the New Testament. Each book of the New Testament is able to represent what God is saying to us right then from that book. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you not to read the other Scriptures, that they're not important, that all the Scriptures do not tie together. I'm saying that we need to study one book at a time here and look at the high points to get the high points of what God wants us to see, to help us think our way through the Scriptures. Well, we understand that in many instances in the New Testament, there are quotations from the Old Testament, which was completed at the time of the writing of the New Testament. And keep this in mind, that the New Testament, during the times that we're studying, as we look at the bird's eye view, the New Testament was not completed at that time. And therefore, each book singly had to stand on its own merits. And we see that, of course, and later on, how they dovetail together, written at different times by different authors. And I would remind you that the authors were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of God. And all of the Scriptures fit together. Man could not have done this. Man could not have tied the scriptures together, and it could not have been like that if man had been the author. It had to be God who brought these books of the Bible together, and they fit together. They dovetail together. Well, the key verse, I believe, is the verses here is chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And it says there that the gospel is the only power to save. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let me quickly add, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says here in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ," in other words. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Well, I believe those are the key verses, verses 16 and 17 of chapter 1, and that the gospel is the only power to save. Well, the gospel is the good news, once again, of Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life, and then he was crucified, buried, and resurrected. And his blood cleanses from all sin. The Bible says that. Jesus Christ is the gospel. Well, the simple purpose of the book was to present the gospel of Christ to the Roman church, to let them know, to remind them as to who, and to let them know about Jesus and of what he had done and what he was going to do in the future for them. Well, then we see that Paul presents five areas for the Roman church to consider and change based on obvious questions with answers. Let me quickly add that this is not the Roman Catholic Church that Paul is writing to here. The Roman Catholic Church, we'll get into that study possibly at another time, but Paul is not writing to any so-called Church of Rome, the Catholic Church there. That is not who he is writing to. Well, he first addresses, once again, as we look in and see what he was doing here, he was addressing the doctrine of sin. In chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible tells us through those verses that all have sinned and are lost. Verse 23 of chapter 3 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We also see the doctrine of salvation. Romans chapter 3, verse 26 through chapter 5 and verse 21, and those verses teach us that all can be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to understand that today, that God can save all of those who would come to him faith-believing. Well, we look in Romans chapter 5 then in verse 17 through 21 where it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned," and that's the first Adam, that's Adam, you remember Adam and Eve. It says, "One man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one," and once again that's Jesus, "by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience," that's Adam again, "many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one," that's Christ, "shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So there's no other way to be saved, no other way of salvation other than through Jesus Christ. Well, then we see the doctrine of sanctification in chapter 6 and verse 1 through chapter 8 and verse 39. Well, this tells us how grace works in the context of sin and the law. It's by grace that we're saved through faith and that not of ourselves. Then we see the doctrine of selection in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through chapter 11, verse 36. Well, Paul's saying here, do not forget that the Gentiles are grafted into the stock. The salvation is through the Jews. God has not forgotten his people. The Jewish people are still his people. And it's because they have been set aside. They're still his people. They have not been forgotten. We've been grafted in. We've been given an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Well, then we see the doctrine of service in this book. There's so much in this book. Romans chapter 12 through chapter 15, we see the doctrine of service. And we could say this, yes, saved, saved to serve. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, he's not going to ask us to do more than we can do. He does not, and this is God, he's not put more on us than we can bear. He asks us and gives us the equipment. When he asks us to do something, he gives us the equipment to do what he wants us to do. First, we are to take the gospel to all the world. We are to start in our area, and then we are to go out from there. We do that in a way that we could say that we attend a local church and as we give to missions, or maybe God calls us into the mission field. But we start in our local church, in our local Jerusalem, and we give out the Word of God. Then at the local church can support missionaries to go into all the world to preach and teach Jesus Christ, the doctrine of service. In other words, we give ourselves to the Lord. We are of service. We do what He wants us to do. Well, let's look at something here now. Three questions answered by Paul that many people today ask about the law of grace. And these are applications that we need to look at now. If saved by grace, then does grace encourage sin? Well, the answer, of course, is no. And you can read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And we're going to read chapter 6 and verses 12 through 13 right now. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. In other words, don't look for sin. Don't go out trying to sin. Don't forget that you're saved by grace through the blood of Christ. But also remember that you're saved to stop sinning. Paul does not teach sinless perfection, but he's saying, don't go looking for trouble. He goes on to say, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Well, the second question is answered, and the question is this. If saved by grace, then does grace give permission to sin? Well, the answer, of course, is no. Romans chapter 6 through chapter 7 talks about this. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 15 says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And Paul says this in his writings here. Well, the third question is this. If saved by grace, does grace make law sinful and useless? Well, the answer, of course, is a resounding no. In chapter 7, verses 7 through 25, the Bible talks about this. And in chapter 7, I'll read a couple of verses starting in verse 7 there. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And then in verse 12 of chapter 7, it says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Know Him today. Ask Him to come into your heart. Receive Him as your Savior today. He is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He can save you if you'll turn to Him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.